Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
Today on Truth Infusion Radio, we are excited to introduce a great friend to our ministry, pastor and evangelist Steve Parrish. We invite you to join with Brother Parrish as he continues a sermon entitled, If the Dead Could Speak.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
Hell ain't no joke! You miss hell and gain heaven, you won't care a bit. If you got scared there, if you got led there, you'll just be proud. It wasn't a joke to you. I'd rather scare you into heaven and watch you laugh yourself into hell. Hell ain't no joke to Jesus. Hell ain't no joke to the rich man. Why is hell a joke to you tonight? There's some real truth that we take out of living this life. You can't have freedom without responsibility. You can't live as you please without consequences. And there can't be a heaven without a hell. If the dead could speak, they would tell you, hell is no joke. You ever heard folks say, well, I'm just going to go on to hell. That's where all my friends are. That's where the party will be. We'll just take the party from right here down there. I read about a rich man there in Luke chapter 16, said he fared sumptuously every day. Matter of fact, all his life was one big party. But I'm telling you what, there was a day came when the party was over. There was a day came when all his family, all his finances, all his friends, all that he had in this world, it ran out. I read of all that was going on in hell, but I didn't see a party. Oh no, the rich man would tell you tonight, hell ain't no joke. You may sit under this tabernacle tonight and you may say, preacher, I just don't see it that way. Well, I'm telling you what, as sure as that rich man's memory began to work and he began to think on what his life had been, if you go there, you'll remember this night. You'll remember the days that God gave you here, days that he had an opportunity for you to miss hell and get to heaven. Oh, the dead could speak tonight, they would say, hell is no joke. I tell you what else I believe they'd say. They'd say there's no second chance once you get to hell. Luke 16, 26, what did he say? And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. That word fixed right there, it's a key word. The meaning of it in the Greek is everything on the other side of death is final. Death has ended all opportunities to be saved. There's no grace found in death. There's no grace found in hell. Brother Steve, what is grace? And I've heard folks talk about doing that acrostic on it and spelling it out. Grace spells out God's riches at Christ's expense. And I know all that. I thank God for how he paid my sin debt on Calvary. I thank God I didn't go looking for him. He came looking for me. But I've thought about it a lot of times the last 31 years since God saved me. I've thought about when I was a lost man. I thought about how grace kept me and how grace watched over me and how grace gave me opportunity. What are you saying, preacher? Hey, I was under Holy Ghost conviction first time in my life when I was 16 years old, and I ran away from that conviction. The call of God came on my life and I needed to be saved, and I ran from it as hard as I could go. And I didn't get saved till I was 24 years old. And I thought about from 16 to 24, Brother Shannon, I thought about how if I'd have got killed one night, or if I'd have got killed in a fight, or if my heart had just quit beating, I'd have dropped off into hell just like so many others. What are you saying, preacher? I thank God for the opportunities of grace, as He was long-suffering and patient, and He gave me opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. What is grace, preacher? Grace is under this tabernacle in New Boston, Texas, and He's brought you to tonight. Grace drove you up here. Grace set you down here. Grace gave you a song service tonight. Grace gave you Brother Chuck tonight. Grace gave you a preacher tonight. And the Word of God, don't gamble with grace, because when grace leaves here, grace leaves you. Amen. There'll be no second chances in hell. As long as there's life, there's the hope of grace. Say, Brother Steve, it's too late for me. I don't believe that, or you wouldn't be here. Amen. It ain't up to you when it's too late. It's up to the One who gives the grace. You're here tonight because of grace. But when death comes, grace will be gone. You ever thought about this? The saved won't need it, and the lost can't get it. Well, say, Brother Steve, I thank God for amazing grace. I thank God for saving grace. I thank God for keeping grace. I thank God for preaching grace. Hey, I'm saved by grace. I'll be carried home by grace. But when I get there, I won't need grace anymore. Sin will be gone. I'll have a new body. I'll be with my Lord. Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far. Grace will lead me home. The saved won't need it, and the lost can't get it. Boy, I found a verse in Proverbs this afternoon. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 7. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth. Boy, that gripped my heart. According to the Word of God, a wicked man has an expectation. What he's saying, preacher, nobody ever intends to die and go to hell. If I took a survey tonight, who wants to go to heaven? Everybody under this tabernacle, in your right mind, you'd say, I want to go to heaven. I'd say, well, who wants to go to hell? I don't believe there'd be nobody under this tabernacle tonight. Why? Because you're here tonight and you're lost. You've got an expectation. I'm going to get saved one day. Well, I'm telling you right now, you better make that one day this day. Why? Because you don't know how many days you have. You're so used to grace, you think it'll always be available. It'll always be here for you. You're even hardened to the work of grace. If the dead could speak, they would tell you there are no second chances in hell. If you ain't received Christ in life, you'll not receive Him in death. Death is a point of no return with God. If the dead could speak, they would say, hell is no joke. There's no second chances in hell. And then they would say, repentance is urgent. Repentance is urgent. I found it interesting in verse number 30, the last thing we see a dead man in hell saying, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Isn't it amazing the last words we have from a dead man that's now living in hell? The last word that he comes off of his lips is the word repent. If the dead could speak to you tonight, they would say, before you meet God, you better repent. Before you face eternity, you better repent. You better repent while you are among the living, because among the dead, there is no opportunity for repentance. If the dead could speak, their message would be what the Word of God says, the message of the New Testament, the message of the Old Testament. There needs to be a repenting of people. What's that mean, preacher? To repent is to turn from sin and to turn to God. To come to Jesus, you must first turn to Jesus. If you ever get real with repenting, it'll change your direction. Now, I'm sad to say hell's full of a lot of folk that are going on what they call salvation. Repentance isn't feeling bad. It's not being guilty. It's not getting emotional in a service like this. We live in the day the church is filled with folk who say they're saved and they've got 360-degree repentance. In other words, they were going along in their sin. They got in a meeting like this. Singing got good to them. The preaching got real to them. Boy, they got exposed to their sin. They got to feeling bad. Got under a load one night. They walked down an aisle, took a preacher by a hand. He said something, they said something, and repentance to them was this right here. They just kept going right on like they was going. What are you saying, preacher? That ain't repentance. Oh, no. Oh, no, repentance is turning from sin and turning to God. There was a lady called in Friday morning on the radio station there, and we'd give the plan of salvation on the phone, and Brother David had said, I'm going to tell you what, before you can ever get saved, you got to get lost. And there was a lady, Miss Betty, I believe she was, she called in, and she said, I appreciate the simplicity of the gospel message y'all preached this morning. She said, I want you to know I walked down an aisle when I was 9 years old. I was at a church, and I know they didn't mean to do me wrong. And I know the preacher, he probably didn't intend to do me wrong. She said, but I remember walking down that aisle, and he took me by the hand and said, have you come for baptism? And she said, I didn't know anything. I just knew that I felt like I needed to come down there and meet with God. And he said, he didn't ask me nothing about being lost or being convicted of my sin. He just wanted to know, was I there for baptism? I can relate to that. I walked down an aisle as a 9-year-old boy in a Baptist church in Pontotoc County, Mississippi, and I remember an old preacher took me by the hand and he said, son, are you wanting to go to heaven? Well, yeah, I want to go to heaven. I didn't want to go to hell. He didn't even tell me to call on the Lord. He prayed over me. And when he got through praying, he stood me up. Everybody come by and shook my hand, hugged my neck. They baptized me. And from 9 to 24, I lived on what that preacher told me that morning. I didn't repent. Why? Because I didn't even know what repentance was. I didn't really even know what my sin was. I knew one of my buddies had walked down and they was all having a big time and I wanted to get in on that. In other words, I was concerned with everything that's going on out there instead of what is going on in here. And so that morning from 9 to 24, this lady said, she said, I married a preacher. She said, I ended up marrying a preacher. And she said, I never had any peace about my salvation. And she said, for the next 10 years, she said, I bet I asked God 1,000 times, Lord, if I'm lost, then save me. If I'm lost, then save me. What are you saying, Brother Steve? To get saved, it can't be if I'm lost. To get saved, it's got to be I'm lost. I'm undone. Hey, my sin is killing me. I'm headed to hell. It ain't guess so, maybe so. I'm going. And she said, then one day after 10 years, it wasn't, Lord, if I'm lost. It was, Lord, I'm lost. Well, the devil will... We talked about this Wednesday night about that, how doubt works against assurance, and he'll bombard you with what you did when you, or what you'll do with salvation. Are you going to do it right? And did you say the right thing? And did you do the right thing? And have you done enough? And have you kept enough? Boy, I see where the last thing the dead in hell said, repent, repent. Boy, the morning he saved me, Brother Shannon, I didn't have no idea what all he was doing for me. I didn't have no idea what all I was getting. I ain't been getting it in shifts either, honey. I got the whole load that morning, amen. I got him all. It ain't come in stages. And now he's revealed some things to me that I didn't know was there. As he's got some things out, he's filled them back up with some more things. But I do know this. He was a blind man that he healed one day, and they all brought him before the council, and they said, who did this? Did the sinner do this? He said, boys, all I know to tell you, I once was blind, but now I can see. Well, he's saying, preacher, for 24 years, I'd married the same woman. I'd watched her serve God. I'd heard her pray. But there was a difference in her and me. What? As a 12-year-old girl with a Gideon Bible in her bedroom, she knelt beside her bed and she repented. And she went going her way and went to going God's way. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, September 28, 1986, laying in a bathroom floor by a commode, I was a-hollering, oh, God, one of them oh, Gods. My heart met his heart. I dealt a 180, honey, and I've been walking with Jesus. I've been going his way. Say, now, Brother Steve, you've always walked with Jesus. Well, it ain't so much that I've always walked with him as it is that he's always walked with me. Oh, yeah, man, that 180 repentance, it'll rock your world, man. It'll turn your world right back up. Religion will cause you just to play around with Jesus. Repentance will cause you to turn to Jesus. Turn from your sin and turn to Jesus. Repentance is more than regret. It's more than sadness. It's more than being sorry. It's a change of mind that leads to a change of direction, that leads to a change of behavior. Repentance is urgent because time is running out. That's what the rich man would tell you. Read about an old mountain preacher. Was preaching one morning, he told his folk, he said, repent the day before you die. Said the congregation answered him, preacher, we know not the day we will die. Said the old man of God said, well, you better repent today then. Only the living can repent. Oh, if the dead could speak. But I got good news for you tonight. Because of the holy, inspired word of God, the dead have spoken. I want to say tonight, will you hear what they have to say? Say, well, Brother Steve, you've told me about one who spoke from hell. I'd sure love to hear one who spoke from heaven. John chapter 11. God's in the details. He had a beggar named Lazarus. Then he had a best friend named Lazarus. Lazarus, his best friend, got a sister named Mary and Martha. They get word to Jesus in chapter 11 that he's sick, sick unto death. Your friend's gonna die. Jesus waits 4 days. You study that out sometime, it'll bless you. So he gets, 4 days later, he gets there to where they are. Verse 35, y'all ever do Bible drills where you had to quote a verse and everybody wanted to do John 11? Verse 35. Jesus wept. Go on to the next one, amen. But now he wasn't weeping because Lazarus was dead. He was weeping because them folks was hurting. Why? Because he knew what's fixing to happen to Lazarus. Verse 43, when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. It wasn't just a miracle that he come back to life. It's a miracle he's able to walk with all that stuff on him, amen. Brother Steve, why are you saying if the dead could speak? Boy, they was a dead man in hell. He spoke. He said, hell ain't no joke. Hell ain't got no repenting in it. Hell better be that you do. Today, you better repent today. This ain't no place to mess around with. So we got a voice from hell, but then thank God we got a voice from heaven. Verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. In other words, they came to a funeral, but a party broke out. Some of y'all been living for a party all your life. You go from one party to the next party. You plan your life around making enough money you can hide from your wife so you can go party. How you know, preacher? I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt, amen. I spent 24 years as a lost man looking for a party. But what I found out in the world's parties, they've always got a sun up and an ending time. But 31 years ago, Brother Mike, Jesus done took me to the party, amen. And I'm telling you, 3 days after Calvary, it became party time in the family of God. And the party's still going tonight. Old Lazarus spoke and he never even said a word. They just beheld the glory of God. And what they saw took place in his life. And it says many believed on him. And I say, I thank God, count me among the many. But then verse 46 says, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. I'm talking about the dead have spoken here tonight. A voice from hell's cried out tonight, said, hell is no joke. It said, and there's no second chance in hell. It said, repentance is urgent because today is the day of salvation. As sure as Jesus spoke that day, he has spoke here tonight. It said that many believed, but it said that some went their way. I wonder when it comes to concerning what the dead say, are you among the many who believe in Jesus? Or are you among the some who will be found with the devil and his angels? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I come tonight thanking you, Lord, for the strength you give me. Lord, these are not easy things that's been dealt with tonight. Lord, I never saw this message coming. God, I know you're so impressed on my heart early in this day. God, to bring your word that would identify, Lord, the days we're living in. God, we're living in a day where men and women and boys and girls have been deceived by the devil into laughing about a place called hell, into living with counterfeit salvation experiences. Lord, they've got no peace about heaven because the Holy Spirit still troubles them about this place called hell. Father, I come tonight, Lord, thankful for the many here tonight who have believed. But God, how I want to stand in the gap for those that are counted among the some here tonight who've not believed. God, if they don't cry out for repentance in this day, Lord, if they don't bring their sin to the sin forgiver tonight, Lord, this could be their last opportunity. God, before the sun comes up in the morning, Lord, they put their boots on tonight, but God, an undertaker may pull them off before the morning. Lord, they tied their shoes tonight, but God, the funeral home may untie them before the morning. And Lord, all that'll matter then is what they've done with Jesus. Because all this life is a preparation time to get ready for eternity. God, eternity has only one or two homes. Thank you, Lord, for a beggar named Lazarus. Thank you, Lord, for how I can read of him, Lord, and how it comforts me, God. Thank you, Lord, as sure as you had a heavenly band to carry him home, God. You've got angels ready to dispatch tonight, Lord, as saints of God are leaving this life, Lord. They're going and getting them right now and leading them home. Thank you, Lord. That heavenly band's reserved for me, for everyone here tonight that's counted among the some. Thank you, Lord, that I won't be buried, God. I'll be carried. God, for that in here tonight that's so close to being carried, Lord, this is their day of grace. God, grace is this opportunity. Lord, it's all been about them. Everything's led up to right here and to right now. God, if a message like this troubles them, there's something wrong. God, if they think about you coming back for the church and that gives them an uneasiness, there's something wrong. God, it's time for us to quit the sugarcoating, and it is time for us to say we're all just going to be all right, Lord. Your word says there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. God, let hell get real here tonight. God, I believe you sent us one tonight. If old rich man could stand here, he'd say, don't laugh it away. Don't joke it away. Don't listen to Hollywood. Don't be deceived. Hell is no joke. It's a real place. For 2,000 years I've been here, and for eternity I'll be here. There's no getting out. Don't come to this place. Oh God, save the lost. God, for that, and it's living on a 5-second prayer or a 10-minute feeling of guilt, but their directions never changed enough to change their behavior. God, I pray, Lord, some 360 conversions will turn into 180 conversions tonight. God, somebody will turn from their sin. They'll turn to you tonight. Lord, I thank you. I've been a lot of things the last 31 years, but I ain't ever been a lost man again. Oh, God, save the lost. In Jesus' name, we stand quietly. Nobody talking, nobody looking around. I thank God for the holy hush under the tabernacle. Souls hanging in the balance. Preachers, make your way this way. Be here ready to throw out the lifeline. Be here ready with the book of God to show somebody how to turn to Jesus. Oh, would you come? Brother David, sing. Would you come? Come to Jesus.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.